that you're holier than thou. Well, the problem of that is that we're supposed to be holy because our God is holy. I'm going to have 3 points this morning. I have a lot more. Brother Larry Winkler said there's a lot more to it, but this is all the time I've got time for this morning. I'm going to give you 3 points. I thank God for fathers. We think about fathers doing their duty as supplying for their families, the financial needs that they have for everything that they do. But I want to address this morning the unleft part, the undone part, is many times is the father's responsibility to teach his children the spiritual aspects of life. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What should it profit if you raise a child and go through everything that you're required to do by morality, and that child die and go to a devil's hell? So I want to talk about that this morning. I'd like for you to turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and I'm going to use verse 15 through verse 17. There's many other places that I want to address. I won't be able to do that, but I will talk about in the book of Judges. We have many times, if you look in these verses here pertaining to this and into the book of Judges, you're going to find over and over again where it talks about the fathers, the fathers, the fathers. Of course, that's what we're addressing this morning is Father's Day. Before I do that, I'd like to say something about what a father's seemingly image is supposed to be, especially to the wife. He's supposed to be able to fix anything. And sometimes I tell my wife, I don't know about that. What do you mean? You know, she just can't understand that I can't just fix anything and everything. The next thing is to suppose to take the blame for everything. Yesterday I was coming down, I guess it was the night before. I was trying to sleep. I don't know how many calls came to the house, and I had to keep waking up to answer the phone, but that's okay. And usually I have Gloria to do that, and she wasn't there, and I had to answer the phone. Most of the time, the people's on the other end was Gloria. She said, the air condition's out. She had an anger in her voice. The air condition's out. And I said, okay, what are we going to do from here now? I mean, I could tell right off it was my fault. And we finally got a guy here yesterday, worked on the air condition and fixed it, got it back going. She never has apologized for accusing me because I'm the blame for everything. He is to supply every need of his own. That's a true statement. He is to supply every need. The next statement is that the woman needs to realize his responsibility before God and respect him in such a manner. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we have the husband is to love his wife. But prior to that, we have the wives are supposed to submit in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And then in chapter 6 of verse 1 and 2, we're told that the children are to obey their parents in the Lord. Why should children obey their parents in the Lord? We live in an age in which the young people run everything, and they're running it backwards. Okay, to honor your father and your mother means that you're not to do to violate your conscience. If your father's a drunkard, if your mother's a drunkard, we're not talking about that. We're talking about to honor your father and your mother. They brought you into the world, and we need to see that. So Father's Day is a special day. Contrary to what Brother Melvin Graham says, it's not much more than Groundhog Day. If we could get to the place to where we realize what God has commanded us to do and how God has commanded us to live, then we would see a change in our country today. We're not seeing that change because America has not learned in where their values should lie. And if their values did lie there, it would change our country for the better. The world is tired of hearing what... Let me back up and say this. The world, the people outside of Christ, are tired of hearing what we say we believe and not doing what we say we believe. I believe that we need to see that Jesus saved us. He washed us. He made us fit to go to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you're good. You're not going to heaven because you've done some great feat. You're not going to heaven if you do nothing more and nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ, who is God and who paid the sin debt on Calvary's tree. And when you get that down, it is not your goodness, it is not what you are, it's not what nationality you are, it's not what color you are, it's what has been done with your sin. When we get to the place where we recognize our sin, and let me say something, you can say anything you want to the preacher, to the church, you can do anything you want to, but until your sin breaks your heart, you can never get saved. You cannot get saved unless you see your undoneness before God in your life. When you see that you have need of something, you will reach out for it. And when you do, God will give you the faith to put your trust in Christ Jesus. We talked about this morning in church. Well, I don't understand this, and I don't understand this, and I don't understand this. Let me say something. That's a big club, and I'm a part of it. I don't understand everything God does. I don't understand everything in the Scriptures. But I do know, because of placing my faith in Jesus Christ and His sacrificial offering on the cross, I do know that I'm a born-again believer. I do know that God has changed my life. There's many things that God requires me to do that I don't like doing. Amen. But I do it because He told me to do it. If we could get to the place, and I'm going to get into this in just a second, we could get to the place. Now, the Old Testament was a historical accounting of what God meant in the New Testament. He is telling us in a physical aspect of what we're to do as in a spiritual aspect in the New Testament. So these verses say this. Now, let me back up just a second. Over and over again, Joshua is telling the people of God. He is telling them what God has done for them. He is telling them how God has addressed them, how God has loved them, how God has cared for them. He's going through all of that motion. And then he says, in verse 15, he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord." And people believe that today. We have media, we have everything in the world saying, pointing their fingers at Christians and Jews. Isn't it amazing they picked those two groups to point their fingers at? What God did for Israel, He has done for America. What Israel did to God, America is doing to God today. We have turned our back on what God has told us to do. And when we do that, we no longer have God's pat on the back, if you would. Whatever it is, when we turn our back on God, then God turns His back away from us. Let me say to you this morning, Christian, if you, and men especially, if you're not praying, shame on you. If you're not praying for your children, if you're not praying for your preacher, if you're not praying for your church, shame on you. And you're not being used the way God wants you to use. As a father, God wants you to pray. Now, let me say something. Let me go a little further, go a little deeper. Might as well have dug a hole. My wife says, when you see you're in a hole, quit digging. Amen. But I'm telling you this, that if you have any sin in your life, any sin, then God will not hear your prayer. The power of God is exhibited in this world through prayer. How do we see the power of God move in our life? Well, you know, different ones. We've had Ed have cancers burn off his face, off his head. I mean, bad. He's had a bad burn off his head. Ms. Alta this week had surgery. Different people. You can look. Brother Harold Clayton said, "Thank the church for praying for me and keep on praying for me." You know why? The power of God is exhibited through His people through prayer. You have not because you ask not. And you ask amiss because you have sin in your life. When you get on your knees, I guarantee you if there's anything in your life that God wants you to address, He wants you to address something, He brings up your thought processes, you need to go kiss your wife and tell her you're sorry. Now, I didn't mean that to be funny. I meant that to mean that even little things, no matter what it is, God is holy. And I'm fixing to get into that in just a second. And God will not hear a man who has sin in his life when he's trying to pray for his wife or his grandparents or whatever it is. He will not hear that prayer unless we're a clean vessel fit for the Master's use. Let me say something. Paul said this, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God? And you're not your own, you're bought with a price." What? You mean to tell me that you don't know that? That was near 2,000 years ago Paul made that statement. Well, we still make that statement today because it's still true today. Okay, now listen to this verse he said. He's telling them about all that God has done for them. If you read the first part of chapter 24, you're going to see what God did as a breakdown and how He's addressing this thought process. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." He drew a line in the sand. He said, "Choose you today whom you will serve." Listen to me. I seen a tie. Went into a Bible bookstore in, what's his name? Not Pigeonfold, the other one. Gatlinburg. The guy had a bunch of Christian ties in there. It was a Christian bookstore. And he said he only had about half of what he normally had. But as I went through them, I bought this tie. I bought this $10 tie. Amen. And they had another one in there that really drew me, but I didn't get it. And it was, what is it, glows in the dark? What do you call that when it glows in the dark, kind of? Whatever. Yeah, there you go. And it had frogs all over it. Green frogs all over that tie. Boy, they stuck out. And it had in big letters, "Please don't croak until you get saved." Amen? Well, what a message that is. Did you know that you could walk out these doors and somebody could come through there just like we've been seeing on TV and run through all them cars and kill you in a heartbeat? You know that could happen? You're not exempt from death because you're young. You're not. In fact, suicide in the youth of our nation today is rampant. Why? You say, because they have no hope. Because some father was more interested in running around and doing his thing in his way instead of teaching his children the right way. That's about what it boils down to. You can say what you will. You say, "Brother Billy, this is supposed to be a day where we pat all the daddies on the back and all." We already done all that. Now let's get to the spiritual aspect. Okay, let's get to what really counts. What really matters in life is what you put into your children. And you won't see your children behind bars if you'll just do what God says. Now, I don't say in every there's exceptions to that rule, but if they have the truth, they're able to come to grips with facts, and that's what I'm saying. They'll know they're a sinner, and they need help from God. Notice he said here, which you serve, rather the gods which your fathers served, there to go, and were on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's no exception there. I've known preachers that when they surrendered to a ministry, their wife left them and never came back. You say, why would that happen? How could that happen? If you really loved that person, what really means is that they hate God. Now somebody said, now you can't say that she hated God because she ran off and left her husband. Listen, she didn't want to have anything to do with God. The Bible says you either love God or you hate God. There's no in between. You say, well, I don't mean it that way. I don't really hate God. Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever seen the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? Do you love Him as a result of that? The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants you to dwell with Him in heaven through all eternity. God wants every person. And yet people turn their back on a loving, caring God. Look at the story. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at what happened to the Son of God who was gone. He was born. He was in heaven with His heavenly Father. He was already there. And He came, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. He came into this world not to rule it. The Jews wanted Him to rule and reign. They wanted to get out of the Roman bondage. That's what they wanted. And they kept saying, "We've read the Bible. We know You've come." No, Jesus came to die the first time. Now let me tell you something. We are special in the sense that we didn't see Him come the first time, but we're going to see Him come the second time. And He could come at any time, at any moment. He could come into this world. And when He does, He's going to take His people out of this world. And we're going to go to dwell with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We heard Brother Jeremiah this morning talk about what's going to happen with your old body. And you get more amens here from the old folks than you will the young ones. Amen? But Ed, God's going to give us a new suit of clothes, honey. We're going to have a new body. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We went on that trip, and I enjoyed the stuff that we did. But I'm telling you, I am plumb out of gas. I mean, we pulled in the service station. We couldn't get no gas for us. It's just for the car. But I am whooped from that travel experience. Now, it used to didn't bother me that much, but it's getting worse and worse. Or someone said, worse and worse. It's getting bad. But one of these days, we're going to get a new body. One of these days, there'll be no more sickness. One of these days, we'll have no aches and pains. One of these days, as the boys sang a while ago, God will wipe away all tears. One of these days, all that's going to happen, and it's true and it's real, it's going to happen. But God's people need to see that we're here and we're now and we need some help. Okay? Notice he said, you're going to serve the God of your father's served that were before the flood and on the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Well, at the time this was happening, why do you think Joshua was telling them that? They were serving the gods of the where they were at. That's what they were doing. He said, for the Lord our God, it is that brought us up brought our fathers out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to stop there, and I want to jump down to verse 19. Look at verse 19. This is my text verse. This is what I want to talk about this morning. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. He's talking about in the state they were and what they were going through. America cannot serve the Lord. You say, why? We're in church this morning. You call that serving the Lord? Do you think worship is coming down here to the church house and sitting here and doing what you want to do in the nice air conditioning, the fans blowing, the carpet's on the floor, the seats are soft? Do you think that's worship? No, worship is when we experience the power and the presence of God. If we did that, these altars would be filled. If we did that, as Steve said before Sunday school this morning, we might ought to have an invitation before we start the service. Amen. Because your heart needs to be made right. When you worship, your heart is being made right. God is doing some things in your life. He is opening up things that you haven't seen before. Maybe you've heard it said 1,000 times, but you've never seen what it really means, what it says. There's a radio program out there in Gulfway. It says, you've heard the word, but do you get it? That's a good title. Do you get it? Do you really get it? For Christians, I would say to you this morning, do you know that Holy Ghost of God lives in your body? If you're a born-again believer, the Holy Ghost, well, what does that incorporate? Let's see, God is three persons, but he's one. Ain't that what the Bible says? I need correcting here. That's true. Okay, if that's true, then you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost in you. If that's true, then how are you going to walk around chewing a wad of tobacco? See, I knew I was going to have to use this thing. You wouldn't have foul statements coming out of your mouth. Brother Patrick, watch it. When your big horse steps on your foot, you're trying to gird him up. You're girding on him, working on him, and first of all, he holds his chest out. Then when you go to get on him, he lets it out, and you girds loose. Dumb rascal. Steps on your foot. You're just trying to get ready to go to work. And this mule-headed idiot won't do nothing right for you. And so you call him what he really is. Amen? And you put that bit in his mouth and you get up on him. I like to watch the movies. They're racing, running wide open. They're chasing the criminals. They're chasing the bank robbers and all this stuff. And they've got the reins pulled up. The poor horse, mouth is wide open. He can't run, but they're gouging him to run and holding him up. Amen. You know, most Christians live their life like that. We talk a good ball game, but we're really not too good at it. We can't cover up our sin. We can't cover up our attitude. Did you know the preacher can see you when you come on Sunday morning, walk through the door? If he's filled with the Spirit of God, he can see if you just had a fight with your wife. You say, No. What did I just tell you? Who lives in you? You can see if there's true harmony. You can see if there's really a hunger for worship. You can see if they have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to their heart, not to your neighbor. I like to watch Cheryl and Steve, and I say something pretty profound, you know, and that's you. Amen. Well, that's not new, Steve. She does the same thing. We need to see that. Worship is coming together at Jesus' feet in awe of what he is and who he is and what he's done. So these verses tell what he's done, and then he tells him, do you really, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. And what about you? And they said, oh, God forbid that we would not serve the Lord. And he said, you're not serving the Lord. You, what are you talking about? You people, God forbid. He said, for the Lord thy God cannot help you. Now, is that a true statement in the Scriptures? Well, it is if you're not living for God. Listen, Christian, why do so many Christians fall out of fellowship with God? Why is it? They're living in the flesh. They're trying to do it themselves. I told them in Sunday school this morning, do you understand everything that we're studying and looking at in the Scriptures? Well, I don't. I'm glad you do, because I don't. But what I do not understand, what I read and comprehend, we're talking about God, the mind of God, and the heart of God here. I do not understand all of that stuff, but I'm going to stand under it. If God says it, honey, it's true. You say, well, explain that to me. Can't, but I'm still standing under it. I tell you, if God did not make a mistake over here, and another, listen, we got guys writing these commentaries and all this stuff, they say God made a mistake here. You moron. I mean, if I bought his book, I'd go back and take it back and get my money back or burn that thing. That guy has nothing to say to me. He has nothing to say to me. And it happens all the time. And people, we had a family left our church a while back. Sweet family. I loved them. I opened my arms, gave them all of me that I could. Amen, whatever. Pray for the kid in the hospital who had football injury. We did it all. Whatever it took, we did whatever it takes. They went to missing church, and we contacted them, talked with them, whatever. And she said, don't worry, we're watching a service on television every Sunday morning. And I'm sure that I haven't been able to find it, but it's probably in here somewhere where God said you can lay out at home and watch TV and don't go to church. No, the Bible says right the opposite. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching, make sure you're faithful in church. But anyhow, on our trip, I was watching the preaching channels or whatever you call them, the religious channels or whatever, and I saw this guy. She told me who he was. I saw this guy. Needed a haircut. Need to dress up a little. I'm talking about my conviction. But I was hurt. She traded me for him. Well, they weren't in our church. They were members of our church. I bought this little sign. I bought it for Gloria. But y'all might as well hear it too. It says, you don't need to drive me crazy. I'm close enough I can walk. Did you know, Brother Clayton told me this a long time ago. He said, did you know the church had quit on you in a heartbeat? And all you've ever done is told them what the Bible says? You know, I didn't make all this stuff up. I mean, I didn't stay up till 2 o'clock this morning making this stuff up and trying to write this stuff down. I looked at it, I found it in the Bible. And what we have today is we don't have enough preachers that are worried about their new car that the church gives them next year, or the raise in salary that they're going to give them, and all these kind of things. That never crossed my mind, because I know there's nothing here, but God is here. And God can do anything He pleases. So what we ought to do is, if that's true, we ought to preach the Word of God, and we need to have churches that have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says, and they pray fervently. Fervently, that means to the boiling point, for their preacher and for our services and for our worship and for our gathering together. Now I want to give you 3 points. Chapter 2, verse 12 said, I saved you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Now where's the church at today? We've mingled with the world. We've allowed the world to suck us into itself. The Bible says don't let them mold or shape you. I worked for an alcohol aluminum plant for years. The molten metal would come out of running state. It would come out of this trough. This trough would go over to a propersi, what they call a propersi. It's made in another country. And as that liquid started into the end of that big long machine, which was probably half the distance to the front doors of this church, it was sprayed with cold water, and it began to cool. And as it went through there, it was shaped to a certain shape. Now, the shape that they had there was round, so it came out the other end round. But they have other ones that they press through a shape. Your windows, your aluminum windows, that's gone through a process of being shaped like they want it shaped. You know what the world's done to the church? It shaped the church. So the people are comfortable in the church in their sin. They're comfortable there. It has shaped the church. Amen. Now, I want you to look at verse 19, and I want you to see this, chapter 24. This is my text verse. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. You cannot. For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. Let me ask you something. If God created all things and all things were created by him, then does he have the right to decide what they do and how they do? You know, people that come to church, you know, we're noted. We're noted all over the country. I want you to know you people are noted all over the country because we don't believe in taking bottled water in the church. We don't believe in soda waters in the church. We don't believe in ice cups with soda water in it in the church. We don't believe you all bring food in the church, crackers and all that bunch of stuff in the church. You say, why, Brother Billy? Because God is holy. If you're born again, he's walking with you. He is in your heart. He is there. Now, let me ask you something. I have played football games when I didn't get a drink until the end of the game was over. People hitting you, knocking you around, slapping you around. You running, doing this, running, doing that. Never even thought about any water. You know where I'm going? People are thinking about everything in the world, but the subject that matters. That matters. That is God. That God is holy. Look what he said. He is holy. God is holy. He is jealous. Amen. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sin. Do you know the difference between me and a lost person? I'm better than they are? Nope. Got more talent they got? Nope. Got an inside with God? Nope. My sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. I think of all the times, Steve, of things that I could have done maybe to help my family better. And I find out that I've come way short of what I should have done as a daddy with my personal family. But then I see God went past me and past them, and I have good grandchildren. Now, I want you to know that certain things skip a generation. So what happened is they're like me. You know that's silly. You know that's silly. You say, why? Because you cannot blame your parents for what you are because you made the decision when you got old enough. Now, what is the difference is that they have been taught the right way. The three, I talked about three servicemen. We bought them lunch. My wife bought them lunch up here at the steakhouse one day. You know what stirred my heart with those three GIs? They never said one thing that they didn't inject, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Every phrase that came out of their mouth was yes sir or yes ma'am. You say, what does that mean? What's that going? Respect. Respect. We've drawn up a generation of young people who do not respect anything. That's why we have the laws, they're going through what they're going through because mom and daddy at home didn't teach them anything. I'm talking about daddies now. It's not the woman's place. It's his place. Y'all remember when Abraham was out in the wilderness and set up his tent? And they came there. There was three angels that came there. And Abraham had his wife to fix dinner, and they ate together and all this stuff like this. And at the end of that, one of them was the Lord Jesus. And he said, this time next year, your wife will have a son. She was barren. She was 90 years old. He was near 100. And she laughed, Brother Dwayne. And the Lord turned to Abraham and said, why did she laugh? Your house not in order? When God speaks to you, does He speak to you? I mean, what's the problem here, Abraham? He went through the head. Watch me. He went through the head to get the message to the female. Now you can say what you want to. Brother Billy's a male chauvinist pig. Go ahead and say what you want to. You're going to give an account to God for it. You're going to give an account. God came through the man. Now I'm building up to this, Ed. There's so much responsibility left on you. We have the responsibility, people. The man does. Because God is holy. What about your thoughts? What about your speech? What about your actions? What about your response to what I just got finished saying? I want Miss Jane to really get in. I know the Louisiana people. Most of them are pretty boisterous. I'm going to be glad one day when she says, amen, Brother Billy! It's coming. It's coming. Don't y'all be surprised. I see her say amen all the time. She's ladylike. Amen. Our response to the Word of God. Joshua chapter 24:19 tells us what we have to look forward to. The second point that I want to make is God is jealous. If we're espoused to Him as a wife, okay? That's what the Bible teaches. The bride of Christ is a Gentile church in our age. It has some Jews in it, but most of it's Gentile. If we are espoused to Him, if we are the bride of Christ, now you say, I don't understand that. It's all of us. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. I don't understand it all either, but I know that's what the Bible teaches. And I accept that fact. Then why would He be jealous if we're floating around at a football game or a baseball game on the Lord's Day instead of being in God's house? You want to know why He's jealous? You're His bride. It's going to happen. See, I knew I may wear this thing out before the day's over. I knew that. We have to direct our attention back to what we call ourselves doing. Amen. So, jealousy. Does He care about His own? Yes, He does. Let me tell you something. If I was to do something disrespectful, I'm using Miss Jane today. This is her day. If I was to do something disrespectful to Miss Jane, guess what? I would have Brother Pruitt all over me. Now, he's promised to protect me from somebody that would jump on my case, but I don't know if he can do it then. Because why? I messed with his bride. Amen. Y'all can say amen now. That's not so bad. So, Jesus is jealous of his bride. He's jealous. Nobody is going to monkey with his church and get away with it. You understand me? They may kick the doors down, but guess who they're going to give an answer to? He gave His Son so that He could have you as His bride. He wants the Holy Ghost in us to touch other people's lives. Why are we still here? To touch other lives. To touch other lives. He wants us to so let the Holy Spirit move in our life that we touch other lives. Amen. And when we're able to do that, then we're able to get the gospel to them. And all of them won't get saved, Steve, but maybe some will. The little camp they had this week, just two got saved. You know what? Heaven is going to be something else because people went out of their way to do a bunch of stuff and cost a bunch of money to do what they did. I don't know how much offering they took up. Usually it's never enough. But at least two is going to live throughout the ages to come. Now let me say something to you. You're going to live throughout the ages to come, either in heaven or hell. You hear the gospel message, which means that you see yourself for what you are. You're not any good at all. In fact, the Bible says you're dead. and you have no spiritual life in you. But when you come to Christ, He puts that spiritual life back in you, and now you're going to dwell forever in heaven and not in hell. Do you know what heaven is all about? Everybody talks about it. Trees of gold and that's just the building. That's just the place. You know what heaven is about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. If He goes to hell and we go with Him, heaven is going to be in hell. Wherever He is, whatever He does, however He does it, it's His business, and we'll be happy and content in Him because we're with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not. Listen, you can talk about God all day long. But when you name the name of Jesus, the world wants to suck back and get away from it. They can't stand that name. I like what Brother Harold Clayton said. A guy said to him, "Don't you mention Jesus' name to me anymore." Brother Clayton said, "I was going to the post office one day, and he was coming down the steps, and I was going up the steps, and he said, when I seen him, I said, 'Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.'" Now, maybe Brother Clayton's a little facetious. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, it's something about that name. God is a jealous God, and He will not put up with disobedient children. And you will get taken out behind the barn to the spiritual woodshed. Lastly, God only can forgive sin. He's the only one. Somebody told me that not long ago. They were talking about something, and I forgot what it was, who it was. Doesn't make any difference to me. The illustration is the same. They went to tell me something that's wrong in their life. And I wanted to say to them, I'm not the Pope, and I'm not a priest. You can confess your sin to the Lord. Now, watch me. It's okay if you want me to pray for you. And amen. That's no problem with all that. I didn't mean it badly. But let me tell you something. Your preacher can't forgive sin. He can't help you. He can't do nothing for you. You can tell him what your sin is, and they can get down there and pray together. But only God can forgive sin, okay? And that's what He says here. He says He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sin because of the way they were living and because of the lying to their own self. I'm doing pretty good. Well, if you are, you're in bad shape without Jesus Christ. God only can. Well, Brother Billy, I'm trying to do the best I can. Well, let me tell you, it's not good enough. You know, I'm getting better and better. I quit smoking last week. And I only sip a little every once in a while. You know, you're a teetotaler. I understand that, Brother Billy. I understand you're a teetotaler. No. Your sins are still on your life because you don't see they're sinful. America's in that pickle. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in that pickle. And you know who's going to get us out of that pickle? Men that stand up for the Lord Jesus. Men who believe what they say and say what they mean. Men that have ears to hear. Men who love their families more than they love their self. Men that want to get their children born into the kingdom of God and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can know where they stand with God. God only can forgive sin. Listen to what the Bible says. We are saved by the grace through faith and not of ourselves, not of our works. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9 makes that statement. It tells us not of works, but of grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, men, my most favorite men in the world is sitting in this church. I'm talking about personally. My most favorite men in the world are sitting in this church. You say, why? Well, first of all, because I am the pastor of this church. That's the first thing. And God gives a special love to the sheep of that pastor. Some of my kinfolks who I love beyond measure. I love preachers all over this land because of what their ministry has meant to my life. Brother Harold Clayton's the beatenest thing I ever saw. He said, "Brother Billy," he said, "you're such a blessing." He said, "I love to be around you." And I said, hold it a minute. You're the blessing. You're the one I like to be. I like to be around you. You know what he said? He's sick to death, couldn't hardly eat, couldn't do anything. You know what he said? He said, "I want you sitting by me at Brother Dennis's meeting." I said, Okay. I said, what about all my kids if they're there? Tell them to come too. I want you to sit by me at Brother Dennis's meeting. Now, why would he say that? I mean, there's people all over that big place. They all love each other, the preachers do. We come there to worship and praise Him. But that's what he told me. You're such a blessing to me. Well, I said, you encourage me. You know why days are refreshing? You know where they come from? I know that I had, God showed me that in New Mexico. I knew all of that. But God had already put it in my heart down there in Nacogdoches at Beulah Land. That's where he did it. He put that in my heart. Just like a woman is impregnated to have a child. God impregnated my life that my life would be exhibited through days of refreshing. Because outside of this church, I mean. And yet this church was opened up to a whole world of people who enjoyed days of refreshing. They don't even know most of you. Now, the ones that have been coming from day one do. I can tell Brother Clayton, I can just tell him, you know, the gray-headed lady that sits over, he said, is that the young one or the older one? Peggy, he said, he knows Peggy. Knows Zelma. He knows you. Because you've impressed Christ-like living on his life. That's what he's given his whole life for. You know what preachers do? If they're really sincere about their church, they give their whole lives for it. Whether it's little or whether it's big. Why? Because God put it in our hearts to do it. I love you guys. Each one of you is very special. I want to say to you, Happy Father's Day, but I also want to tell you the responsibility is yours. You can say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve. He didn't say, I'm going to ask my wife. Now, I don't see what the kids think. Better see what the kids think. Amen. Let's ask Lauren. Amen. Nope. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to thank you men for all that you've meant to this pastor over the years. And I want to thank you for being faithful to the house of God. But most of all, I want to thank you for being faithful to what God has called you to do, and that's to live for Jesus every day of your life. The world's going to laugh at you. They're going to sneer at you. They're going to do whatever they want to do to you. That's okay. You just come on.